a pleasure to be here. Thanks for everybody coming out in the gray. I'll get to this in a bit, but you know, first, I just wanted to comment a little bit on what Nancy said about what's going on in the Horn of Africa. For those of you who've spent many years of your career working there, you know that that over the years we've made some progress on things. We've talked a lot about relief and development. After, I think my first time out there was almost 30 years ago. So I think that we've made some good steps this time around in USAID on just trying to bring together our relief side and our development side. Almost for us, really unprecedented, because we had people actually sitting together trying to take our disaster programs and take them through to transition and then put the back end to it in development, which is something we haven't done in the past, which has been one of the real areas we've missed in the development side, where a lot of our good humanitarian transition type programs ended and there was nothing else to pick them up, particularly in those arid areas in Kenya and Ethiopia and elsewhere that many of us have worked in for a long time. So I want to come back to that a little bit later and talk a little bit about, and I'll get to that slide when I do that. What I wanted to talk about a little bit was just Feed the Future and the components of that effort and how we think it relates to what we're doing in the Horn in terms of humanitarian assistance, and how that then leads into this conference that we're planning for the end of March. So many of you have heard of this before, but Feed the Future is a presidential initiative on reducing hunger and poverty. And, you know, we sort of come at it from five different components. One, there's a production component, both in agriculture, livestock, and it could be in horticulture and other aspects of it. We have a value chain approach. That is, we're trying to generate more value in those products, more jobs along the line. So for those people that aren't necessarily producers anymore, but they're part of that chain, they can then have something to do with it. They can earn income through it. For instance, like in southern Tanzania, we have this the Southern Corridor effort. So that is a production corridor which has processing, which has manufacturing, which has warehousing. So the effort is to try to expand the jobs that are around agricultural production. Nutrition. As Nancy mentioned, nutrition is a huge component of what we're trying to do in the sense that we are trying to make the diet a better one. We've focused for many, many years in our health programs on micronutrients. We're trying to expand that so that we can focus on a better diet. So it's producing more nutritious foods, and it's obviously with things that many of you have worked on over the years, probably trying to get people to consume better foods. So that's another component. Markets is another aspect. We've talked about this, I think, several times in appearances here. We have a whole unit devoted to trying to see if we can't do better resilience through working with the private sector. A lot of times in the past, we've really looked at the philanthropic side of private sector, which wasn't all that sustainable. Sometimes the money just ran out. It was for a very limited time. But trying to take a look at the private sector to see what's in their longer-term interest, but also in the longer-term interest of the communities. I think a lot of times we've talked about the private sector as if it's only going to affect the upper echelons of the society. And what we're trying to do is to bring the private sector to where those who really need more agricultural production, who can really benefit from that, are going to be able to participate in that. So that's another big point for us. And finally, research is a huge component for us. The administrator is very keen on looking in the area of drought-resilient crops. Very pertinent to the Horn. Very important for, I think, what we're seeing in terms of, it's raining today, but there you go. But in terms of climate, and what we are seeing happen across many parts of the world in which we work. So we want to take our research budget and shift it to trying to make our the seeds and other things that we look at more drought resilient. Big issue for us, and one that I think will pay off in big dividends in the future. Cross-cutting issues for us. Always looking at the gender issue. For the first time, we have an initiative first time in many years, specifically directed at women to bring women scientists from Africa back to the States or to other universities to increase their education, and also then to send them back to their countries to bring the kinds of education and knowledge that's needed to help FTF programs succeed. We used to do this back in the 60s and 70s. Those programs tapered off. We're now resuming that, seeing that there's a great benefit in doing so. Climate resilience, I talked about crops like that. There's also a major presidential initiative on climate, so we're trying to stay linked up with that and make sure that the projects that we do out in our countries are taking cognition of that. Water and health, two other big components for us. Obviously, water is becoming an increasingly important issue for us. A big issue for us. Obviously, in the Horn, it's something many of your groups have focused on. It's something we have focused on. We are looking at the types of crops that make better use of less water, and that will be an important component, given that agriculture consumes about 70% of all the world's water. So let me just switch back to the Horn a bit and what Nancy was talking about. What we tried to do in our work here is to join together, as Nancy said, our relief and our development work. We tried to come together around how we manage disasters, how we diversify livelihoods, what can we do to link up the people that we deal with in emergencies with what we're going to try to do on the trade side. One of the things we've been trying to do for years is early offtake for animals, trying to start that early in a drought so that people get the pastoralists get the most they can out of their animals. What we've begun to see in our work that's helped start a number of, say, abattoirs in Ethiopia is that it's a lot easier now for pastoralists to access those kinds of markets. So you can see if we move into another drought in another year or 2 years, the more access that pastoralists have to offtake, the easier it's going to be for them to retain the value of those animals in cash, in their pockets, and knowing that they can sell, get their cash, and as things improve, they can restock themselves as opposed to us restocking them. I think that's a very key issue for us. We've also tried to do this, you know, when you look at cash for food, trying to keep those markets open. So in Feed the Future, as we work in markets, we're trying to have our emergency programs also work in those markets and complement each other. I think that's very important. This is just a little bit of what we looked at in terms of the dynamics of a pastoralist system. And I think for us, what's been really important over the years is to really understand those systems. Tufts University has been a key partner for us in helping us do that. One of the key things we see happening in those communities, some people are benefiting a lot and growing into a more commercial aspect of pastoralism. Very, very important to understand that, because as we look at markets, those people can feed into that better. So what we have to do is to look more carefully at who's moving out of pastoralism and how will we benefit those people? What kinds of things will we have for them? And that's why we've tried to look at diversification of livelihoods and when we talk about trying to broaden out what we do and Feed the Future along this value chain. So the final thing I want to talk about is a conference that we are having at the end of March, and that is to look at the issue of resilience, but also to bring donors together around two key components. One, a common framework in the Horn of Africa for us to program against. It's being developed by IGAD, the African Union, and the countries in the region. We've not done this before as donors, been wrapped around a single framework where we were all trying to go down the same tracks together. The second thing we want to do is to develop a donors group which has some similarities to the Club du Sahel, which has had some great success in the Sahel dealing with drought. The importance of this is to try to bind our field programs with our headquarters policy actions. And we hope by doing this, we're going to be able to, as the next drought approaches, we'll be in a much better position to bring our programs together, help them align so we don't step on each other's toes, so that we can concentrate and focus our resources in places where we need think they need to be, and where we can just complement each other's programs and make better use of money in what is now, I think, a difficult, somewhat difficult budget situation.